Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments that we can gather together and sing your praises and remember Jesus. And now as we open your word and read, I pray that you would, through your word, speak to our hearts and draw us to you. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you want to get a jump on things, you can jump over to... Whoa. Let's hope that's the last time that happens. You can jump over to Deuteronomy. We are going through, not in an orderly fashion. So for some of you, that's freeing. For others of you, it's a continual source of stress every Sunday because you don't know where we're going and we're not going in order. I know I kind of feel that, but we'll get through it, and I think the next book we go, we'll just go in order. So this is a temporary thing. Okay, as we go through Deuteronomy, there's something that I see in Deuteronomy that calls out something that I see in my life, and maybe it's a shared thing. It's that we have this, we have the Bible, we have what we profess to be God's word to us, but there is a really big difference between what we say we believe about this book and the place that it actually holds in our life, what we actually do with it. And I know this is different for all of us. Not all of us are at the same place, but just hear this for you. I'm saying this for me. We say that this is God's word, right? It's our authority. It's what we base our lives on. It's this. But we don't always treat this as if it were literally God speaking. So let me back that up with some evidence and see. Hopefully, as I say these things, you'll be able to see, you know, slivers of this in your life and in your heart, and we won't just jump to other people who are egregious examples of them, but we can look at ourselves egregious. Isn't that I hadn't written that in my notes. That just came in the moment. Big word. Okay. We all read the Bible. So evidence of the fact that we say we believe one thing about this, and then the place it actually fits into our life is different from what it should be if what we say about it were true. We all read the Bible less than we could, or less than we should. Even those of us who regularly read the Bible, probably all of us could raise our hands and say, yeah, I could read more. I actually think I should read more. Another example, we don't always constantly meditate on what we read. So we read and then we're done. And maybe some of us do, but I think maybe it's a common thing where if we were to talk about how much we read, we read and then we're done. I don't continually think throughout the day on things that I read in the morning. I feel pretty good because I read the Bible when I got up, and that checked that off the list. I didn't grab a phrase from that. I'm thinking about this morning, so convicting. I knew I was going to talk about this. I still did it. I read. I didn't grab a phrase or two and then hold on to them to meditate throughout the day, to let God's word dwell in my heart. I don't regularly, maybe, I'm not going to say I anymore. I don't want too much confession. I would suspect that we maybe don't memorize this regularly and write God's word on our hearts. If another example, I would guess, and if all of us are exceptions to this, that is phenomenal. But I would guess that it is not overly common, even in Christian families and Christian marriages, to have regular family devotions where we sit around in a little circle and we read together and we pray and we confess our sins and we sing to Jesus together, maybe before we go to bed or something like that. I would guess that we don't always obey everything that we do read. So we read things, and I bet that you, like me, you don't always quickly obey every. You see them and you're like, yeah, I should do that, or we don't completely obey. We obey a lot, but not fully. I bet that we could all think of something that God has told us in His Word that we still haven't obeyed all the way. One more. I know this is, I don't know if it's uncomfortable for you. It's uncomfortable for me just going down this list. One more. when we have questions and doubts and we need guidance and I don't know what to do, I would venture to guess that we don't always immediately run to the Bible. I would venture to guess that you, like me, many times the first stop the bus takes is Google or my wife or another person or somebody I respect. I talk to somebody. I get, you know, guidance from other people. That's not bad, but I'm guessing the first place we stop is not this book. See, I'm guessing as I talked about all those different things, we would all say, we're all in different places. The Bible occupies a different place in our lives, but I bet that we would all say the same thing. That is, I say this is God's word, living, active word, but it doesn't fully occupy the place in my daily life that if it was truly God's word, if I truly believe this is God's word, it doesn't occupy the place that it should. And the consequence of that is this: we end up not living as close to God as we could, as we should. And none of this, my struggle is that as I was writing this is, oh, this is going to come off so condemning. You don't read the Bible enough. It's not that. It's three fingers pointing back at me. And also, none of this is to condemn neither you nor I, but rather to help us see that there is a huge opportunity to be deeply connected with God that we many times miss or partially miss or don't fully take advantage of. And there's something in Deuteronomy. So we'll get to the Bible now. There's something in Deuteronomy that we see that can help us with this big idea. I would say one of the big ideas from the whole book of Deuteronomy is that God gives his word to his people. That is the theme of Deuteronomy. Why do I say that? Because that's what God's doing in the book of Deuteronomy. Yes, it is Moses' goodbye to the people. It is also God giving his words to his people and them receiving God's word. So what does that have to do with us? Well, the people in the time of Moses received God's word. We have the book of Deuteronomy. They got God's word from him. We also have received God's word. The big idea, the Bible, this is literally God's word for us. It is his living and powerful word. It's the active word of God for us. And there are some texts in Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. There's some texts. I just want to spend the rest of our time today going through some texts because while all of Deuteronomy is God giving his word to his people, there are some texts, there are some places where God really explicitly emphasizes what his word is and what it should do and what it should be in our lives and how we should interact with his word and how we should respond to his word. There are texts that we'll see that call us to listen to God more, and then do what he says and obey what we read in his word. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 1. "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you." God gives them his word, and he tells them how to receive it. What does he say? Listen, and then do. Listen and obey, and you will have life. Verse 2, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." We should honor his word, not add to it, not speak in God's place, not talk a lot about God without letting God talk. Verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. And you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today." Why should we listen to God's word and then do what he says? Because just like them, it's because of who God is, what he's done for us. We've seen him work. We've seen him. We know, especially those of us who are Christians, we have his Holy Spirit. We know who he is, what he's done in our lives, what he's done before us, what he's done through us. And so we respect his word. We listen and obey to what God has said. Look at verse 5. "See, I've taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." Just like them, we have God's words. And Moses is saying, God's giving me his word through me to you. Same thing for us. The men wrote down God's word, inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit. So in the same way as they should, they were commanded to listen to that and obey it, we should also do that. Why? Because this isn't Paul writing and Moses writing it. This is the word of God. Go to verse 6. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Why should we listen and obey the word of God? Because that becomes your wisdom. That puts you in a different place mentally. You connect you with the actual mind of God. We learn through God's word what truly is true, what is real. It separates the lies from the truth that we hear all around us. And it's inconceivable. You think God talked to us? It's inconceivable. And Moses underlines this. He emphasizes it. How is it possible that God, the true God, even the people who have fought fake gods, their gods are far from them, and they're not even real gods. And the irony is that we have the real God, the God of the universe, the great, and he would speak, he would draw near, and he speaks to us, lets us listen to his voice, know what he thinks and what is his will for us. Look at verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children, your children's children. We'll see this in another passage we're going to look at. He says, listen and obey, and also teach your children, teach your grandchildren. We could extend that to teach whatever little ones are part of your life, nephews, nieces. Teach the little people that God puts in your life, God's commands, listen and obey, and then pass those along, because it is God's word to you and it's God's word to them. Verse 10, how on the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and they may teach their children to so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. God gives his word to his people. He called them together to listen to his words. Just like us, he literally put his word in their hands. That's true for them. It's true for us. Flip over now to Deuteronomy chapter 11. So look at verse 8. Deuteronomy 11. This is another chapter that just emphasizes explicitly how important God's word is to be in his people's lives. Look at verse 8. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you're going to possess, and that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give them to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he follows it for the next few verses with just the blessings that they'll receive as they listen to and obey God. And then jump to 13. If you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then he launches into another section of just blessings of this is what will happen when you listen to God and obey him. It is incredibly important to listen to God and to obey him. Their life depended on it, and our lives depend on it as well. Not just our physical lives, our eternal life depends on listening to God and obeying his voice, his words. Look at verse 18 now. You shall therefore lay up, that's a good phrase, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. I suspect, and I may be really, really wrong on this, so just I suspect that the second half of that verse was not God saying literally write them on pieces of paper and bind them to your body. I suspect that that was God saying as a metaphor, I want these to be a part of who you are. I want them to be in your mind and in your heart and all around you. Maybe it was literal, but the literal part for me is I want them to be so deep in your life. Not don't just listen to me and then go on with your life. Don't just read in the morning and continue on with your day, but meditate on what I'm saying. Work my word into your life. Memorize portions of scripture so that it's in your mind and it's in your heart. Be full of the word. Guard my words in your heart so that they become part of who we are, of how we think and of how we feel and of how we react to life. And God's word just flows out of us because it is such a part of us. And whenever we have problems, when we're insulted, when we're stressed, it's God's word just flows out of us. We are continually speaking God's word to ourselves and to others. We can't help it. It's not that we're trying to be little churchy people who always have a verse to say, but rather, God's word is so fills us that it just flows out of us. Look at verse 19. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Again, not just enough to know them, not just enough to have our own faith, to read the Bible for ourselves. We have to do that. And also we have to teach our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews, whatever little people God puts in our life, we have to teach them God's word. Verse 20, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, fill your life with the word of God. Verse 21, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and holding fast to him. And then he continues with blessings. He's emphasizing again how vital and important and crucial it is to obey God, to listen to him and to do what he says. Our life depends on this, not just here, but for all of eternity. One more, go to Deuteronomy 17. He's instructing them what to do when they have a new king, when they put a king over themselves, when they not elect, that's wrong, well, you don't elect a king, when they choose a king, when they install a king. Look at verse 18. Look at one of the things that the king was supposed to do. When he sits, so Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priest, and it shall be with him. And he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law, these statutes, and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, that he may not turn aside from the commandments, either to the right or to the left, that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children and Israel. So all the kings were supposed to do this. And if you're a student of history, of the Jewish history, you probably suspect most of the kings didn't do this, I don't think. I'm guessing most of them did not, as they took the throne, write a copy, their own personal copy of the Word of God in a book, and then keep that and every day wake up and read that and learn to fear God. I'm guessing just by how most of the kings lived and what they did, that they didn't do that. I would be surprised if any of them did. Maybe one did it. Who knows? But they were supposed to, because that's how important God's word is. They were supposed to write the whole thing down in their own personal copy, not delegate it to a scribe. They were supposed to do, the king, as he started his reign, he was supposed to write the whole thing down and then read it every day. It's biblical to read the Bible every day. The kings were supposed to. Well, why not us? And they were supposed to carefully obey everything that God had said. And that would protect them like it protects us. It would protect our hearts and our lives so that we wouldn't turn aside, so we wouldn't be full of pride, so that we would always walk closely with God. So what should we do? What's the application for you and I? No, it's not going to be to take out your Bible and a big old pad of paper and a pen and write your own copy. That was for the kings. That was them. What should we do if we have in our hands the actual word of God? Well, what are we supposed to do? We should treat this more and more as if it were truly God's word, because that's what it is. So if you're not a Christian, what does it mean to treat this as God's word? It means more than anything to surrender to the author of this book. It's until you do that, this will be nothing more than a book to you, because you've not submitted, not surrendered to its authority. You'll find some good ideas in it, but it won't be your God speaking to you. What we see today is a call to you to surrender to Jesus, to give yourself to Him, to surrender by repenting and being baptized, accepting Him as your Savior and Lord. And when you do that, when you make that decision, the author of this book will be your Lord, and His Spirit will fill you. And this, as you read this, will become more living and more powerful than you could ever imagine apart from Him. And when you get to the point where you say, I want that, I want to be God's child, I want Jesus to be my Lord, tell someone here. You can repent, you can be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, if God truly speaks to us in this word, here's a question for us. How can, and I'm going to say you, but I mean me, so it's all of us, and I thought about this morning. I have my answer. I won't share it because it's, you know, personal for each one of us, but here's the question for us. How could you treat the Bible more like the Word of God that it is in your life? So maybe for you, that means filling your life more with the Word of God. Maybe for you, that means reading more. Maybe it's starting a habit of everyday reading, or maybe you have that habit and you do it every morning, but maybe you say, I'm gonna read at night, or I'm gonna read midday. What? Maybe it's reading more. Maybe for you, filling your life with the Word of God more means learning to meditate on what you've read, grabbing a phrase or two from what you read in the morning, and then training yourself to think about that, to pray over those phrases, to talk to God about that, what He said throughout the day. Maybe for you, filling your life more with the Word of God is regularly memorizing portions of the scripture. Not just, you know, that wasn't just a Sunday school thing. That's something all of us can and should do. Maybe for you, filling your life with the Word of God more is starting family devotions and every day before you finish your day, sitting around together and either, you know, married couple, family, whatever, reading and praying and singing and confessing your sins together and having time in the Word with God. Maybe for you, treating this like the Word of God is doing what He says more, obeying Him more fully. Maybe it's as simple as for you, it's just when you're starting to read the Bible, it's saying every time before you start, saying, God, talk to me, speak to me. So you have a heart that says, I want to hear You as I read. Maybe for you, it's remembering to ask God after you've read the Bible, what do You want me to do? Spirit, would You apply that to my heart? Maybe it's immediately obeying. Maybe you read a lot and you read well, but the obedience is always a step behind. Maybe there's something you know you need to do right now that God has already told you, and it's obedience for you. How can you treat the Word of God more like God's actual Word in your daily life? So as we think about that, as we answer that for ourselves, let's together remember our Savior. As we think of the Word of God, we say, what does that have to do with the cross, with Christ? Well, thinking of the Word of God takes us to Jesus. He was the Word that became flesh. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen His glory, so the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The living Word of God came, and He put on flesh to teach us more completely who is the Father and what is the Father like and how we can be reconciled to the Father. And then the Word of God, the purest truth in all of the universe, was hung on the cross, and He was brutally murdered at the hands of His creation. So every week We remember that death. As we take bread that represents his body and juice that represents his blood, because in his innocent death, he paid the eternal price of our rebellion against the Father. He paid for every time that he made atonement for every time that we have disobeyed the word of God. The word, this is that word plays, it grabbed me as I was thinking about it. The word paid the price for our disobedience to the word, of the word. In his death, we're forgiven, and we can be made perfect and found perfect in the eyes of our Father. So that's why we take the bread. We take the cup every week. Why don't we pray? We'll take the bread together, and then another brother will pray, and we will take the cup. God, thank you for Jesus. We thank you that the eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, God, that you save us from our rebellion against you and you transform us. And as part of that, we know, we experience many times a hunger for your Word because we love you. We love Jesus and we're your children. And many times we don't hunger after your Word. So I pray, God, that as we remember Jesus on the cross and we thank you for him, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would make us hunger after your word so that we would truly fill our lives more and more with what you have said, that your word would occupy the center of our hearts more and more, that we would fill ourselves with you, we would know you more, we'd obey you better, that we'd become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.